Okay, so today's topic is a topic that had been requested, and I think a very relevant topic related to the series that we're giving on about the working Jew and how one balances the obligations to their family, the obligations to Parnassa, obligations to Chinuch, spending time with the wife, and then Limud Torah. As I mentioned in the past, that when I was making this decision for myself, whether I should stay as an actuary or leave, and I, of course, left. So the individual who I was talking to, who was then a director, but now a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, he had said to me that in life there's so many things we have to balance out. And when you're an actuary, there's an extra thing. You have to balance between work, between family, between learning, and between taking tests. So something has to give. And most people don't have to take tests. So actuaries have an additional obligation. So some people throw away the Torah. Some people throw away the family. Some people throw away the actuary tests. And some people throw away the work. So I threw away the work. But those who do work have to answer the question, how do you balance spending time with your wife and your children and Limud Torah? You're out of work for a long day and you're exhausted and your wife wants to catch up with you. They want to discuss the day, discuss the kids, and then you want to go learn. Maybe you don't want to learn, but you should be learning. So what is halacha? What are the mefarshim have to say on this various topic? So, take a look at the Gemara in Kedushin number 1, Chaf Tesma Beis. Gemara tells us that Talmud Tana Rabbanan Lilmo Torah Velisa Isha. A person has two obligations in life. He needs to learn and needs to get married. So, what should you do? What should the order of events be? So, the Gemara tells us Yilmo Torah, he should first learn. V'charkach Yisa Isha, then after he learns a lot, he should then go get married. And Im Iyav Sharlo Below Isha, if he can't function without a wife, he should then Yisa Isha, first get married, and then Acharkach Yilmo Torah, then learn afterwards. So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Nose Isha, Acharkach Yilmo Torah. The way a person should do, he should first get married, and then go learn. Rabbi Yochanan says the opposite. He says, Rechaim B'Tzavaro V'Yasek B'Torah, how is that possible? A person's supposed to be having the all of work around his neck and learn? That's impossible. To have to get married and deal with a wife and deal with the children and family and then also learn at the same time? That's impossible. So therefore he says you should first learn, and after you've learned a lot, then go get married. Because once you have the responsibilities of a family, it's hard to learn well. It doesn't give as much chizuk. Now I'll add to you before I get to what the Gemara says here. I told you, in the Sifrei Chassidus, there's always a Torah about the importance, the godless of limud of parnasa, of working. So in this week's parsha, Vayetze, I'll get back to the Gemara in just a moment. There's a Mori Naim. The Mori Naim writes that the Indian of Esek HaMamon, being involved in parnasa, is a Torah Shlema. Because when a person, Ayidei Masa Mat, when a person works, he's in business, Kalacha, he's doing everything he should be doing, he's being honest, and he's davening, he's saying brachas, he's speaking with the proper way. Yechol l'kaim kol Torah, he's able to fulfill the entire Torah. And it says in the pasuk sula musad arza, that the ladder was stationed in the ground, and the gematria of sulam is mamon, the same exact gematria as mamon. To be meram is to us that the gashmis dvar magashmim are mutzavim arza. They might be stationed in the ground. Of Arosha, the head, Hainu Karin Chiroshan, Magia Shemaima. So Masa Matan Parnasa, although we may have been taught differently, it reaches Ad Shemaima. So, but according to the Gemara right now, Yochanan says, how is it possible to learn if you're busy taking care of a family, busy making Parnasa? So again, in Pinimius, it's a big thing, but Al Peep Shot, the Gemara says, Lo Pligi, Halon Halahu. There's us. Us is referring to in Bavel, and they're them in Eretz Yisrael. Very different systems, cultures that they lived in Eretz Yisrael versus Bavel. So what's the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael? So there's a big machlokas Yisrael. Look at Rashi, what Rashi writes. Rashi writes, number 2, halon halahu, that's for them, and that's for us. Meaning, b'nei Bavel, in Bavel, hayu holchin v'garsin mishnayos hatanayim b'Eretz Yisrael. In Bavel, they would leave their wife and family and go learn in Eretz Yisrael. No obligations. Very easy. Just leave your house and you'll be fine.
Great. start.
Exactly. So you leave your family, your family will starve, and this way you'll get to learn. That's what the first opinion is. While in Eretz Yisrael, where the yeshivas were local, it's never good to learn, you know, not good to work too local, because we all know if you work local, that means, oh, well, could you pick up the cleaners? Could you go to Costco? Could you go shopping? So whenever you're local, working or learning local, you're going to have tzarcher bias. So what Rashi says is, in Bavel, where they didn't stay home to learn, they traveled far away, well, I'm sorry, honey, I'm away learning now, you can't bother me. So that's one approach that a person could take. You finish work, and you go to learn the Beis Medrash, and there's no tzarcher bias that's mutal nalaf. That's one approach. Now that is a approach that, could lead to starvation, could lead to Mesiras Nefesh, and that's the Ma'is of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who left his wife for 12 years and another 12 years for 24 years. And that's one way to live. But that's not a way for anyone to live. And that's also talking about Limud HaTorah all day long. We're not in Kolel here. And even those in Kolel, even Rav Chaim Kanievsky, as I'll share with you some stories about him, even he didn't live in such a way. So it's a Rabbi Akiva type of lifestyle, but it's not for the Hamonam. But that's one approach to understanding the situation, how to alleviate yourself from tzarchei bias. The next answer is found in the Tosos Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says the different. He says the opposite is true. He says, Al-Kein Nir Rabbeinu Tam, Ipcha the opposite. The Rabbi Yochanan, who is living in Eretz Yisrael, says, Damar Rechaim Mitzavaro V'yasub B'Torah L'Bnei Bavel. And people of B'nei Bavel, how could you get married first and then work? I mean, get married first and then learn. How can you leave your wife, right? Leave your wife to be by yourself and the kids? And moreover, they were very poor. How do you get support them? So he says in Bavel, where there was no yeshivas and there was very little money, then you'd have to learn first. Because the moment you get married and have a family, you have an obligation to take care of your family. That seems to come first before Limud HaTorah. So in order to avoid that, learn for a number of years and then get married later. Whatever that year, that age is, that's not for now. But the Tosa says, once you have an obligation to take care of your family, you can't just walk away. In Eretz Yisrael, however, where they were wealthy and there's plenty of money, so then working wasn't a need. The wife was able to take care of herself because there was money in Eretz Yisrael. Money was plentiful. There's a third approach, and I'll sum them up so it makes some sense to everyone, which is found in a parish called the Shita Lo Noda Lami, which means a Shita, we don't know who authored it, but nonetheless, he was accepted as a Rishonim, and he's brought down in discussions on all the sugyas in Maseches Kedushin. He says the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael were the women, the wives. The wives apparently in Bavel were very ambitious. He calls them Bibavel Nasheim Amlonios, Amelus. They worked hard. They had a job. So the husband didn't have to work. He could sit and learn and color. And the wife would go make money as a doctor, as a lawyer, whatever she wanted to do. Well, in Eretz Yisrael, the women didn't work there. We don't work. We sit back and we relax. We go to coffee. We hang out. The husband has to work. So there are a few different ways in terms of Parnassa. A person could either not work at all and live the life of Rabbi Akiva and run to a yeshiva and let your wife make whatever it is. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Or a person could live in a place or being Yorish, a tremendous Yerusha, and that's another way where work wouldn't be upon yourself. Or you marry a wife who works hard and she makes the money. But this is all for a person who's trying to learn all day long, living in Kolel. We're talking about we're all going to work. We're all making a parnasa. And we come home now. What are our obligations to our wife, our children? But it's clear from here, some of the Yishom say we do have an obligation to the spouse. The question is, can we rely on our wife to take care of it, or can we rely on the Yerusha that we have? But there is an obligation to make money, to make Parnasa. But what about the element of other obligations aside from Parnasa? What about hanging out with your wife? What about hanging out with your children? What about chinuch? What about chores around the house? All of this. If we work all day long and we go out to learn, so when are we going to take care of the needs around the house? So I got an email from a guy this past week who has been listening to the Shiurim, and he sent me a letter from the Lubavitcher Rebbe that was intended for the wives to read. So part of our obligations, our ability to learn and balance between learning and and working and spending time with family does depend on the wife a lot. Now this is a sheer, this aspect should be given to the wives, not for you to go tell your wife what to do, because then she'll tell you what you should be doing, and I'm sure there's a lot that we all have to work on. So we're not telling our wives what to do. But I'm just saying a lot of it does depend on the wife's, her perspective in life. Meaning, does she want you to be home, or does she want you to go out learning? Now, when Chassan and Kala asked me, you know, what should I do during Shana Rishona? Should I learn in the Beis Medrash? Should I learn at home? So we all know when we learn at home, we're not really learning at home. We're so machmir in Shana Rishona. We're so machmir. Shalom Bayis is very important. We should be machmir on it. But Shana Rishona, you need to spend every night with her. What are you doing every night with your wife? Playing Monopoly every single night? Like, you're not learning at home for 2 hours during Shana Rishona. So I tell people, if you're able to, you should leave. Go learn the Beis Medrash. Get a chavrusa if you're able to do that. And if your wife can handle that, so we could talk about that. But to spend the all night, every night with your wife, to me, seems unnecessary. So what the Babcha Rebbe wrote in this letter, he's addressing two different elements of the wife's role to the husband. It's not in front of you, though. I didn't make copies for you guys. Sorry. He says that Isha... she needs to inspire her husband with respect to performing her mitzvahs. And he's focusing on two particular areas. One is nesinas tzedakah, giving tzedakah, which is a whole other piece, not for now. And the other element is binyan kviyas itim l'Torah, that she shouldn't allow her husband to skip times of learning. She should push her husband really strong about kovei itim. So he has a whole long discussion about tzedakah. And then he says, with regards to Limud HaTorah, Tzricha Ha'isha L'Omar Lo, Mahi, wrong one, sorry. Ha'isha Tzricha Lishtadel L'Ores HaBaal, she needs to encourage her husband, V'chein Ha'yiladim, the children as well, and all the siblings, She'yishmeru Es HaShi'urim HaKfum, to go to a set shir, to be Kovei Itim. Ha'isha L'Fiyarcha, according to his level. Not everyone can learn 2 hours, you know, we spoke of the Rambam last week. Now we're supposed to work 3 hours and learn 9 hours a day. We're not doing 9 hours a day of learning. But whatever the amount of time a person could put in, whatever, it's 45 minutes, a half an hour, that should be Kodesh Kedoshim. And it's the wife's responsibility to make sure he's not staying home watching, you know, basketball games and football games every single night. You can watch those when if you feel like it's up, you know, for you to watch, but it's another topic, but... To miss a shir, to miss a seder, a chavrusa, because you want to do something you shouldn't be doing, so then that's the wife's responsibility to kick him out of the house. And he goes on, he says, make sure he doesn't go to sleep. Shelo yishkav lishon balayla, kozman shelo saim etz a shir halimud. If he has a set amount he learns every single day, whether it be in terms of, you know, mishnayos or daf of gemara or amount of time, she should not let him go to sleep until he finishes that. That's a shtark musar. So again, don't tell your wives this at all. I mean, you can if you want, if it's a good relationship, but you don't want to make that relationship, you know, weaker. When Revitson Kamenevsky's book came out, her biography, the article biography came out, so all the guys in there, to sell the Kola guys, bought one. They left it by their wife's nightstand. So like, could you be like Revitson Kamenevsky? So the response is, if you're like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so I'll be like Rav Ben Kanievsky. So like, okay, once you start living to a certain standard, so then you could expect something from your wife. There's a Rebbe, I haven't met him yet, but there's a Rebbe in Yeshiva Ketana, Rabbi Teitelbaum, right? So he makes a Sima Shas every single year, and he's making a Sima Shas Be'in this year, I was told. So one of the Sima Shas he made, Liam Mayer from the shul here, told me he was at the Sima Shas he made, and he told the following Maisa. So he used to be the responsible for shopping Thursday nights in the house. And then he heard a ma'aseh from the Chazon Ish then. And the Chazon Ish, someone went to the Chazon Ish and said to him, I don't understand, my wife is always interrupting me. I'm learning to go do this and to go do that. So the Chazon Ish said to him, because you don't take it seriously yourself. I mean, if you believe in the Limud HaTorah, if you're so focused in the Limud HaTorah, she wouldn't bother you. But it's only because you don't learn with the proper kavana, you know, proper intention. So you said, oh, you're just like wasting time here. Let me bother you. But the moment you really learn because you want to learn, she'll stop bothering you. So this Rabbi Teitelbaum, when he heard this Maisa, he said, okay, I'm going to now start learning Shas. And from that point on, never again did she ever ask him to go shopping Thursday night. He hasn't been to the supermarket in whatever many years it is. So if you want your wife to be a certain way, you have to be a certain way yourself. You have to show what is important to you, what's significant to you, And if it's being kovei itim at night to go to a shir, to go to chavrusa, so then your wife will stop bothering you about this. But you can't expect your wife to push you if you don't really want to do this. But of course, there are responsibilities. You do have to spend time with the wife and kids. There's no question about that. I'm not at all promoting you get off the train from work and go right to the base medrash and come home at 12:30 at night. I'm not promoting that at all. I'm promoting that whatever amount of time you learn at night should be kaveya. Nothing should get in the way of that. Even chasna, certain things happen fine. But that should be kaveya. But it certainly is just as important to spend time with your wife and your family. Now, one of the, I don't know what goes on in people's homes, but I believe is an ancient concept now. I remember growing up, I had this. But take a look at the Gemara number 6, the Gemara in Tainus. Gemara in Tainus, I'll give you a little bit of the background before I read these lines here. The Gemara there is talking about the great tzaddik Choni HaMagel. Choni HaMagel had a koach of davening to Hashem. He's a tzaddik, and he davened for rain. And then the Gemara tells him, Ma'is, it's not in front of you just yet. I'll read inside when we get that to you. But there's a grandson of Choni HaMagel whose name was Abba Chilkia Barbrei, the grandson of Choni HaMagel. And he was a great tzaddik. V'chi mitztarech alma l'mitcha, when the world needed rain, have a mishadri rabbanim l'gave, they would send rabbanim to go ask him to daven. U'bay rachma, he would daven v'asa mitcha, rain would come. Zimnechada, one time, itztarech alma l'mitcha, the world needed rain. There's a big famine. Shadir Rabbanan Zuga, the Rabbanan, they sent two Tamidi Chacham to go fetch him. The Mibai Rachme, the Nesim Mitra, to daven for rain. So he went to Ozal Vesa, Vashkechai, they didn't find him at his house. Ozal Badavra, they went to the field, Vashkechu, the Havik Karapik, he was busy plowing. So firstly, we see this is a great Tzaddik who was working. He had a Parnasa, he's working the field. Yavle Shalma, they wished him Shalom Aleichem, and he ignored them. And a number of weird things happened along the way. He was traveling along the way. He took off his shoes to walk in the water. He picked up his pants so he shouldn't rip the pants. And a very, very strange ma'isa. And they asked the question, what was going on here? But at the end of the ma'isa, take a look now, number 6 inside. What happened was, kimati lebeisa, when he got home, olas debeisa de bereisha. His wife went in first. V'hada ailu iu, and then the Abba Chilkia went in afterwards. V'hada ailu rabbanon, and then the rabbanon came in. Yosef and Karach rifted, they sat down and had a meal. And the Gemara goes on to explain what went on. But we see from here is, after a long day of work, he came home, had dinner with his wife. Which again, it's hard to happen now because people have long hours, they go in the city late. But to sit down with your wife and kids around the dinner table, that's, it's very ancient now, unfortunately. I don't think it happens in so many houses. But there's a concept to go sit down and have a dinner with your wife, and this is a great tzaddik. And someone just told me the other day that Rav Chaim, I don't know Rav Chaim's exact schedule, but when his wife was alive, every single morning they had breakfast with each other. That was kavua. Every single morning, breakfast together, that was part of it. I remember reading in Rebbetzin Konevsky's book that they always go for walks around the block, the two of them. And she would always ask him questions about, she liked numbers apparently, mathematics. So she would always ask him about some like crazy numbers in the Gemara about Mazalos, how it worked, and the calendar, and she'd be fascinated how he'd say it over by heart. But they would spend time going for walks with each other, and they would spend breakfast with each other, I'm sure the other meals as well, together. So this is not a stira to be able to spend time with the wife and the children to Limud HaTorah. You could accomplish both of them. So the idea of spending time with each other and conversation, the mission of us tells us famously, we all know this mission, that Al Tar B'Sicha Me'isha, a person shouldn't speak too much to his own wife, certainly not to someone else's wife. So how do you measure that with respect to your own wife? You shouldn't speak too much. And the reason why you shouldn't speak too much is the Rabbi Yonah says, because it's Bitl Torah, you're wasting time, you should go learn. Don't speak so much to your wife. The others say, Bartanur explains that it's going to lead to fighting because you start complaining about this, you complain about that. The wife says, okay, you should maybe not talk to him anymore. He did this, he did that. And it leads to machlokas of Korach Vadaso, he explains. But the Miri says it's only true when you're talking about nonsense. You come home just to, talk about whatever, just to fill in the conversations. But if there's tzarche bias, when you sit down at the dinner table to talk about your children, to talk about what your own aspirations are, what we could do as a family better, to do more chesed, to do more limud HaTorah, to be part of the shul. Those are tarchei bias. That's not al tar b'sicha. you're sitting around speaking about nonsense, fine. You're making fun of that person and that neighbor, what that person did, that's nonsense. That's al tabar sicha meisha. When it comes to tzarchei habayis, spending time with your wife to speak about things that are needed for the children, for school, that's very much encouraged. And there's a beautiful footnote he brings down here from a couple of weeks ago in the parsha, that the Gemara tells us, the Miri explains, that sicha betela, when it comes to just talking sichas chulin, when a Talmid Chacham speaks sichas chulin, that's, even that, there's what to learn from. You watch a tzaddik speak, even just in a conversation. They say about the Chabetz Chaim, he could have conversations, a big conversationalist. He could talk for hours and shmooze for hours. I tell you, there's no Lashon Hara spoken there at all, but a lot to learn from how the Chabetz Chaim spoke sichas chulin. So the sichas chulin is something you can learn a tremendous amount from. So that's what they explain. When Yitzchak Avinu was a lasuach basada, lasuach basada is the source that he davened mincha. So it's strange lashon lasuach is being used for tefillah. So the explanation is that even the sichas chulin of a talmid chacham is a tefillah. Even when he speaks in conversation, that itself is a tefillah. How it works is a tefillah, okay, beyond our understanding, but it's a tefillah. So when you're sitting down talking to your wife, that's also a tefillah. We're talking about what we could do to make our kids better, what we could do to make ourselves better. That's a sichas chulin, that's a limud haTorah, that's in a tefillah. So it's not a stira to be able to hang out with your wife and talk to your wife and then to, you know, learn as well. We're not in the level of Rabbi Kiva where we leave the wife by herself. We are on the level where we're supposed to elevate even that which is mundane. Like we start off with the Moray Nayim, that even Mammon, even Masa Matan is like a sulam. It's out of Shemayim, it reaches Shemayim. So hanging out with your wife, that sichas chulin is just as great as making parnasa. It's the same inyan. It's a very, very high level. Because we know every relationship between us and our wife is a microcosm of the relationship between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kala, and Chasam, rather, we're the Kala. So when we're speaking to our wife, that in essence is a relationship between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's of the highest levels. So hanging out with the wife is incredibly important. And it should not, a person should not take that for granted. But in addition to hanging out, we also have responsibilities as a father, as a husband, to help out around the house. So, of course, there's the concept of hanging out with the children, spending time with the children and chinuch. There's a machlokes whether or not women are chayiv, whether the mother's chayiv in chinuch or not. But for the father, there certainly is a requirement that the father has to raise the children, mimechanechim lemitzvos. There are a couple opinions that the woman has to as well, the mother has to, but pashup shot is that the women don't have to. There's those who want to look into the sugya, there's a Rashi in Chagiga, the first mission, Rashi in Maseches Chagiga, mentions the mother's obligation. There's a Gemara in Sukkah that talks about Hilni Hamalka, raise the children to sit in the Sukkah. There are other sources as well. But that's a machlok, is whether the mother has to raise the children, but certainly the father must raise the children. That's certainly in terms of chinuch. That's our obligation. So a person can't not be around to help out the children. Children studying for a test. Children's doing homework. So not every father's always around. But to just say it's all on the wife to have the responsibility of raising the children, that to me would be incorrect. To learn with the child, to study with the child, that's part of the same obligations. So yes, we have obligations to balance it out. But to go out every single night seder and to miss those opportunities to raise the children, that's not good for you. It's not good for the children. Not good for the shalom bias. So yes, you always have to find a perfect balance. I'm not telling you to not go learn, obviously. I started off to say the importance of learning. And there's no one answer for anyone how long you should learn, how long you should spend time with your wife and children. But there has to be a balance, whatever that means for you. You could push yourself. You could extend yourself. You could stay up later. You could wake up earlier. But these are all things you have to hit every point. You have to make parnasa. You have to spend time with the wife, spend time with the children, and you need to learn. What the breakdown is, that's up to you and to speak to a Rebbe about. But all those have to be very, very important. Now, in addition to spending time with your wife and schmoozing about how you could be better people and how your family could be better, in addition to spending time with children, because that's incredibly important as well. Children just need to spend time with the parents. There's also just chores around the house that have to be done. And I came across a beautiful Ben Yehoyada on this piece about what it means to help out around the house. And the Gemara is talking about in Yevamos that there's an obligation that a person must oiv es ishto kegufo. That you need to love your wife just like you love yourself. And your mechabed, your wife, you have to honor her more than you honor yourself. So I hope everyone here shows greater honor to their wife than they show to themselves. Whether that means to buy her more, you know, clothing, buy her jewelry, or just treat her in incredible respect. But you have to love her as much as you love yourself. We all love ourselves, maybe too much, but we all love ourselves. Hopefully we're all proud of what we've accomplished. So as much as you love yourself, you need to love your wife. So what does that mean? So Ben Hoyada explains as follows. He says, Rotz Lomar, Kemo shehu chas al gufo shemevi bnei adam la'azar also. Right? No one here is, maybe there are. I'm not sure how many of you, don't raise hands, but I don't know how many people here in the five towns are mowing their own lawn. Right? We hire a gardener. Now, no one's going to let their grass grow high. It's my responsibility as the father of the house to take care of it. So I'm not taking out my lawnmower to mow the lawn. So I hire a guy to do that. I pay him whatever the $100 a month, whatever it is. I'm not changing the oil on my own for my car. I'm bringing it to the gas station $25 to change it for me. I'm not changing the tire on my own. I'm a hire. I could do it. I could read the manual, but I'm paying a guy to do this. But that's an obligation that I should be doing, but I'm hiring someone to do it for me. Okay. So just like many things that I have a responsibility to do, that maybe 50 years ago, the father of the house would have changed the tire on his own, would have changed the oil, would have, mowed the lawn. Now we're all very spoiled. So too, he writes, Kain mevi lishto ezer. You need to bring help to your wife. So again, every family is different, of course. But this is Ben Yehoyada who's writing this. Hein bianika lahavilo meinekes shetazelo bianika belaila. Your wife has a baby, so she's nursing all night. So he doesn't say you should wake up at night to warn her, but he does say that you should at least hire someone, if you're able to, have a nurse to help the wife during the night. To take the baby here a little bit and to give your wife some rest. Now, if a person can't afford that, so then the husband should be waking up in the middle of the night to help out. Hein begidu banu, when it comes to raising children, shemevi lo umanos lasei ol hayeled, to bring people in the house, to have a housekeeper, a babysitter to help out. It's a lot for the wife. Ukayoti bazeh. So these are what it means. This is what it means, at least according to the Ben Yehoyada, that a person should love his wife as much as he loves himself. Again, think of what your obligations are as a father. Your obligations are as a husband. According to the Gemara, Rabba Basra, it's really our obligation as fathers to teach our children Torah. Now, it came to a point in history where it just wasn't feasible anymore. We need to make a parnasa. So we created a whole yeshiva system. But my Rebbe, who's teaching my son, is really doing my job. So I'm paying whatever the cost of yeshivas are to take care of my obligation. So why shouldn't I do the same thing for my wife? Again, I know this is five towns and we're very spoiled here, so I apologize if anything comes off the wrong way here. I'm not saying everyone has to have a housekeeper and a babysitter. But if a person has that ability to do that, just realize what the obligation that you have and you're really pushing off. You have others do for you. Treat your wife the same exact way. Because really, you should be sitting home and saving $20,000 in tuition and teaching your son than sending to yeshiva. So the point is, what I'm saying here, I hope it's clear, I guess it'll be a little shorter shir today, is that we all have obligations to our wife, to our children, and to Limud HaTorah, to Hashem. And you should never go to any extreme of not learning at all, Chas V'Shalom, and not learning without spending time with the wife and children. All of these elements are of the utmost importance. And therefore, based on hopefully some of these sources that spoke about the obligations to Parnassah, obligations to the wife, obligations to Limud HaTorah, should hopefully inspire some of us to think about how we should balance it out. But what that balance is and how much time you should spend, again, you should speak to someone, see what's best for you. You could discuss with your wife how to balance it out, but certainly the balance must be there. And that's a challenge we have in life. That's what life is, balancing between different obligations. So again, as you go, we should push more and push more. And as the children get older and there's less responsibility to the children, so then there's more time to learn. When a person's retired, to spend time with the wife and learning becomes an easier thing to accomplish. But certainly when the children are younger and the needs for homework and studying, a father must be around. He must be there. There's children without the father in the picture is an incredible, it's difficult for the children. So what that balance is, I don't know, but there must be some healthy balance. Yeah.
So let's assume a person has all the money in the world and they can hire somebody to do everything. Isn't that still a bad example? I mean, essentially as a father, then you're not, or even as a mother, if she's involved like this also, you're not around. You hire the housekeeper, you hire the tutor, you hire the cleaning service, you hire the gardener, you hire everybody. And then you say, okay, everything's taken care of. I'm going to go out looking. That's not a good...
No, I think the difference is that first of the two things. One is there's a mission in Ksubas that says if a person's very wealthy, he should hire many, many servants or maids for the wife so she doesn't have to do too much. But she must have some obligation because if she's doing nothing, it's going to lead to terrible things.
Wait, hold on.
So that's in terms of the wife. So she must be busy with something. It can't just be in the coffee shop. You know, some obligation she has to do, whether it be cooking or cleaning or something. But she has to do something to keep herself busy. But in terms of the man, I'm not talking about obligations of to the children. I'm talking about chores around the house. So for me to hire a gardener, to have the mechanic, to have the contractor, all those things, that doesn't affect my relationship to my children. In terms of my relationship to the children, I'm not hiring a guy to take my son to the Yankee game. I wouldn't say that.
Right, but look, Sunday morning, okay, it's a long Shabbos, you have many people over, okay, maybe you did clean up everything Matzah Shabbos. So this morning, in the kitchen, running the dishwasher, I think regardless of how much money you have, it's a good thing for when the wife comes down. If she comes down after you, presumably because you went to Minyan or something like that, she sees you cleaning up in the kitchen. I think that's a good thing. Or the kids come down, they wake up after you. They come down into the kitchen and they see you that you're straightening out or vacuuming or whatever it is that you do. I think that's good
chinuch. Oh, no, I agree 100%. There should be, the husband should be involved in taking out the garbage and the dishwasher, whatever. There's certain things the husband definitely should be doing. I'm not saying get rid of everything.
Right.
You have to show them what it's like. Because just because you might be wealthy doesn't mean your children will be wealthy. And even not that, even if you will have the children that are wealthy, they have to know what it's like to respect the wife. There's a famous maestro of Yaakov Kamenetsky that someone once asked him about sending the kids to a yeshiva with dormitories, away from home, boarding school. And he says, if there's shalom bias in the house, you shouldn't send away. That was his understanding. Because if there's shalom bias in the house, you want your children to see what shalom bias is like. So if they're going to live in a dormitory, during the years of 14 to 18, they're not going to know what shalom bias is like. They're going to live like pigs in a dormitory, and they'll learn the opposite of shalom bias. But if the shalom bias isn't good, and it's going to be unhealthy for the child, then you should send them elsewhere. But to see, observe the shalom bias, that's an incredible thing. So I think you're right. I'm not suggesting that he should be doing nothing, and he should be involved. Even the wealthiest guy should help out something in the kitchen to teach the children what it's like to have the proper shalom bias. But, okay, hopefully this is some good food for thought, and I'm not sure what topic for next week is. Maybe we'll start Hanukkah sugyas. But okay, shkoyach, everyone, have a wonderful day.
There's a problem with the... Nowadays, with the women.